Welcome to Two Peas on a Podcast. These current events and hot topics aren't going to talk about themselves. And now, here are the two Peas, Andy and Gerald.
What's up, people?
Woo!
It's been coming.
Oh, CCR. Can't go wrong, dude. Can't go wrong, brother.
What's the lead singer's name? John Fogerty?
Yes.
Is that how you say it? Fogerty?
Yes.
Is that, that's it? That's really how you say it?
Yes. Why are you putting me in a trivia spin? I'm getting my coffee. Yes, it's John Fogerty. Yes.
Soul. He has so much soul in his voice.
It's good shit, you brother.
Know? I want to know. Yeah.
Have you ever?
Man,
good stuff, brother.
Love CCR.
I got faded down because I'll sing the whole damn song.
Creedence Clearwater Revival. It's a revival, brother.
It is, brother. You know what? I got to tell you. Well, first, I guess before I tell you, I should tell everyone it's Two Peas on a Podcast.
Is that what it is? What are we doing here?
Two Peas on a Podcast. Gerald is here.
Andy is across
Andy,
from Gerald.
Andy is here looking sexy as hell, brother.
Thank you. You know, I just feel good.
I like you in the all black. It's back in black, brother.
It's Halloween.
Had I known you were
going
to wear
dark,
that.
You know, I feel like my daughter's going to go through that goth phase very soon.
Definitely it's coming, brother.
Very soon.
Had I known, I could have done back in black today for our song lead in. But I'll tell you, what's interesting real
tell
quick.
Tell me.
Is it's rainy.
It is.
We finally are getting some rain around here the last couple days. And I have the door open as I normally do because I like to pretend like I'm old as shit. Well, I am old as shit, but I want to pretend like I'm even older for some reason.
Do you have to be old to open the door?
You know, I'm listening to the rain and everything, and I'm going, you know what? I want to do a song about rain this week. So I kind of Googled in my iTunes, and I'm like, wait, come on. And I'm listening to Have You Seen the Rain by CCR, and I don't know if you remember heard the line in there. Someone told me there's a calm before the storm, and you heard Trump's comments this week with his generals. He's
interesting.
Like, I don't know if you guys know, but you're witnessing the calm before the storm.
My goodness.
It's huge. It's beautiful. I'm like, okay, Trump, so what's happening? Is the world ending? Because we already feel that way.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so welcome in. Two Peas on the Podcast. Congratulations. You could die any moment. What episode is this? I tell people.
40-something.
46.
46.
Episode 46, Two Peas. Andy, how are you, man? How was your week, brother? You got a big trip coming up. You got a big. In fact, when this airs, you'll be in Disney World, I assume,
yes,
right?
Yes, we are going to Disney World this week. My kids don't know. So if you're listening to the podcast and you know my children, I don't know why you would. Don't tell them yet.
If they're third grade teachers listening, do not tell them at school tomorrow.
Exactly. So they don't know yet.
Exciting.
I don't know how we did it, but somehow we're surprising them.
That's exciting.
We're going to pick them up tomorrow after school, bring them home, let them know what we're doing, and get in the car and go. And we're super excited. I've never been to Disney World.
You're the parent of the year, bro.
I've never been to Disney World.
Are you shitting me?
I've never been.
You're unbelievable.
I lived in California and I went to Disneyland once, but I've never been to Disney World.
Or Disneyland kind of sucks.
I mean,
compared to Disney World.
Only compared to Disney World, I hear.
Well, that's exciting.
You can't compare a land to a world.
You're a parent of the year, brother. That's a good surprise.
My wife is. She's done all the planning.
Yeah, I know. She's good, too.
It takes a lot of planning. It takes a lot of stuff.
Congrats, Becky, because it's good mom. That's good mom.
Mom of the year. How are you doing? How was your week?
I'm good, brother. Only thing I really want to report, my daughter turned 16 years old, brother.
16 years old.
You know, last week we talked about my son who's 4 potty training.
Okay.
And now this week my daughter's turned 16. A lot of milestones going on in my life. I'm an emotional wreck. I'm sitting around watching a cover performance of Smells Like Teen Spirit this morning. I found myself crying. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with me? A mulatto albino. What's so upsetting about this? I'm an emotional wreck. But 16 years old. She's
16. That's a milestone.
It is, man. She's growing up. I'm very proud of her though. She's a great kid. Good head on her shoulders. And I got to see her this weekend. Went to a Japanese steakhouse. Where they
didn't
cook in front of
Love Japanese steakhouses. So love them.
We had a good time, man. I love her. Very proud of her.
Okay.
So that's the biggest thing for
now,
me.
Now she's 16. Does she still talk to you? And like,
not really.
Okay.
I mean, you know, we do a lot of, you know, the kids text now.
Yes.
They text and do all that crap.
You text.
Don't call
Gerald on the phone.
No, yeah.
He
I'm
doesn't
good
talk to anybody.
I would definitely prefer an email or a text.
Okay.
We text a lot and that kind of thing almost every day. And I'll talk to her on the phone maybe once every couple weeks.
You text every day? That's
more
big
or less.
That's big.
Yeah,
that's
more
big.
Or less. I mean, sometimes she doesn't get back to me. And it's just like the read, you know, she'll read it. And
yeah, exactly.
Like 3 days later, I get like a yes, you know, and I'm like, what? I don't even remember what I asked you.
Smart, winky, smiley
But
face.
She's kind of moving on from the, you know, daddy's little girl phase, and she's
crazy.
Definitely a milestone. 16
you,
years old.
You, Gerald, are very old.
I am old. That's what that means. That's the moral of that story. All right, Andy, let's get it. So, you know, we started our new format last week, so we're going to try to try to keep that theme and stay on topic here stay on time. And I think everybody, great feedback online. So thank you to everyone that sent us.
Thank you, online.
Thanks to everyone that sent us feedback on
the
Facebook.
The internet world, we appreciate you.
Twitter, I got a couple personal messages as well. People really seem to responded well to it, so that's great.
You mean the fact that you guys' show was half as short or half as long as it was before.
Yeah,
we love it.
The best. Yeah, if you could just narrow it down another 80%, it would be perfect.
Okay.
So basically, this is this week's show. 10 minutes and we're out.
All right.
So let's get into a few topics. Now, you know, we like to do a light entertainment bookend to start.
We do.
There's a couple that are in the entertainment world that are a little deeper. You know, we do the light deep stuff sometimes.
Wade in the pool. Well, I mean, so honestly, light deep. What is light and deep?
Yeah, I know. It's like, here you go getting deep already. I haven't even set the topic yet. So I just want to give a quick update. You know, last week's show, the bulk of it was the tragedy in Las Vegas and the mass shooting there. Mm-hmm. We spent a lot of time talking about that and gun control and some other things. Well, Jason Aldean, who was the country musician that was performing at the time the shooting occurred.
Yeah, that's got to be difficult.
Out there in Vegas. Yes. Obviously, tough for him to be associated with that, but he was. And he opened up SNL this week. Did you see his cold open for Saturday Night Live? He went out there. He kind of, you know, gave a little kind of homage to the victims and people that were affected by it in general, himself included. And, you know, kind of a message of moving on and that the terrorists and the people that are, you know, like the gentleman that shot there, we're not going to back down from them. And then on top of that, he performed I Won't Back Down by Tom Petty, who we recently lost.
It's interesting how he did
that. So how did you feel? Did you see that performance?
I didn't see it.
Me and my wife actually watched on the DVR last night. Yeah. So I got to see it last night.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm not a country music fan. People that know me will know that. But I thought it was a nice touch.
Oh, absolutely.
There was a little bit of minor kind of backlash online that it was kind of like glorifying the tragedy and people didn't like that that SNL kind of, I don't know, but they do that all the time where they do like in remembrance and like they did it after 9/11. They did it, you know. So
anytime anyone in the entertainment business or anytime anyone in the limelight actually talks about a tragedy, there's always going to be someone out there who says you're glorifying it, you're utilizing it.
Yeah.
The other side of it is not to talk about it. And I believe that is never a good idea.
Yeah.
We should always talk about it. We never ignored the issue. I mean, it's always the elephant. And you're doing a comedy show.
Right.
That's the elephant in the room, especially if it's a day, 2 days, 3 days later. You have to acknowledge the fact that we have been through this together. And
right.
I mean, I Won't Back Down, a great song.
I think it's a good message for this particular.
Moving forward, let's like, don't let. Yeah, exactly. The fact that these things are going to happen, but we have to keep moving forward. We have to keep making safer and more compassionate choices. So, I mean, I think that's that was a good decision.
So you're good with it. You enjoyed it. You should go back and watch it. There's only a few minutes.
Yeah, I did. I read about it, but for some reason, I didn't watch
that's
it.
That's cool.
I
mean, this you know, particular performance and statement here was not comedic in nature, but you've always been right on, hitting the nail right on the head when you say, you know, comedy is lethargic for people in times of tragedy.
Absolutely.
So SNL is important in the Trump era and in the past and different eras where there's just a lot of dissension in America. So what can bring us all together? You know, usually comedy and music.
Absolutely.
And then you've got both of them here.
Well,
so
comedy's beautiful because
I thought it was great.
When you laugh at something, you naturally distance yourself from it and are able to look at it from a different perspective.
Right.
Because when you're taking it so seriously, when it's a part of you, when it's ingrained into your emotions, you can't be objective about it because you're in it.
Absolutely.
So I mean, it helps us to get some perspective.
Absolutely. I agree. I was okay with it. And I thought it was kind of a touching, kind of poignant thing that Jason Aldean was able to do there on SNL. So if you guys want to go back and watch that performance,
and even if you disagree with what he did, at least we're talking about it. So you know,
that's true too.
There you go.
So a little lighter here, but kind of staying in the music world. Have I gone a week without mentioning Taylor Swift? I don't feel like I can do that.
No. Even if you don't mention on the show, you're either wearing a shirt.
I feel like I have
to. You got your Taylor Swift galoshes on.
I feel like I have to talk about her every week. It's kind of like when The Bachelor's on the air. It's like whenever I see a story, I feel like we have to talk about it. I don't know why.
I just gotta talk about this. Well, I mean, also Taylor Swift has been, because she's dropping new music, she has been in the limelight recently.
Yeah, of course.
So
yeah, we talked about
her. Let you talk about her for the next couple weeks.
A few weeks ago, but this is real quick, and I just wanted to see kind of get your reaction.
Yeah.
But the state of Iowa, the Department of Transportation in Iowa, is inadvertently using Taylor Swift lyrics from "Look What You Made Me Do" for their new driving and texting campaign out there. So what they're putting up on the highway signs on the interstate, quote, "The old Taylor can't come to the phone right now. She's driving."
Oh, that's
unquote.
Wonderful. That's wonderful. You know, now, that's not the only one. They did a bunch
of them. They did
a bunch
of them. Yeah, that's one of the ones.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, like I said, they're trying to crack down on driving and texting and fatalities in cars and
But they do it in a way that, like, you look up at the billboard, well, you
read texts? Who texts? 16, 17, 18-year-olds, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
You know, so, and they listen to Taylor.
Yes.
Now, you have 42-year-old dudes like me that do as
well. 16, so, 17, 18-year-old girls and Gerald.
And then to 42. Yeah.
But, I mean, I like the idea that you're riding down the road, you look up, it catches your attention.
Like, what?
And right. Hopefully, in catching your attention, it reminds you, oh, I should probably not text.
Yeah, no, I don't want to do that. Taylor will be upset with me.
You know, go Iowa for trying something new and different just to get your attention, because it is a texting and driving is a problem.
You a fan of Rush Hour, the Rush Hour films?
Oh, yeah. Those are great movies.
Did you hear, brother, Jackie Chan did an interview
over the weekend? Don't do it.
Rush Hour 4.
Four is in. I never saw three. I saw one and two, but I never saw three.
Three wasn't very good.
Okay. One and two are wonderful.
That's what people are actually worried about. A lot of people, when this story came out, they just said, why?
Why? Yeah, exactly. Why make another one?
I mean, three was already a little.
If there's a great script, if there's a great story, if there's a reason to come back and do another one, that's great.
I mean, the first one's classic, brother. I love that first one.
And the second one's great.
The second was good, too. Yeah, but I mean, the first one's one of my favorite like action comedies.
Yes.
It's just great. Jackie Chan's a great kind of.
Reminds me of
movies. And that's really what broke him in the U.S., too. I mean, that's the movie that the U.S. got to know Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
He was,
and that was like when Chris Tucker was, everything he did was hilarious.
Dude, how good was he in Friday, brother? Smokey!
Reminds me of the movie, have you ever seen the movie Bad Boys?
Oh, yeah.
Reminds me of that mix between comedy and action.
Yeah.
You know, it's just wonderful, wonderful. Bad Boys.
Well, let me tell you the quote real quick. So Rush Hour 4 is in the works because of people suspect it is because of a quote Jackie Chan made in an interview.
Jackie Chan!
He says, quote, I got good news, next year Rush Hour 4, and I hope the script is done. And the day after tomorrow, we're going to be meeting with the director and Chris Tucker to make sure we get this on the right track, unquote. So they're definitely in the early stages.
So that's not a Donald Trump ambiguous, like,
that's like, dude, we're doing
aside. That's, hey, we're doing this movie. Don't you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I hope they do it right.
Nobody understands the words that are coming out of my mouth.
Chris Tucker's amazing,
too. Chris Tucker.
That's good.
Chris
Tucker. All right, so we've talked on the show before. I just want to mention to everyone, we've talked about Netflix many times. Big fan of Netflix.
I love Netflix.
I need to talk to you about the digital antenna, by the way, because I'm going to get one.
Yes.
So I need to talk about that.
Yeah,
we'll do that off air. Okay. Why did I just say that?
Be cool.
Remind me when you talk about that.
But, you know, Netflix, as far as, you know, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, whatever, Netflix was the first one that really came and revolutionized.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, they were revolutionary. Yeah.
And now they have Netflix. I mean, there's like Netflix shows. They're producing their own shows.
Everything, bro. They're killing it, too. Yeah, Ozark was great.
Great documentaries. You know?
Atypical was a great show. I mean, they got a lot of Stranger Things. I mean, they're coming.
What's the news, Jared?
The news is, in Variety, there's an article that came out, and it's been substantiated by Netflix. They're going to be raising their prices, brother.
Oh.
So the...
How much, though? Because right now, like, what, $10?
Well, I'm going to fucking tell you. If you
tell me. I'm just saying. I'm excited.
The base plan is $9.99 now.
Got it.
Which is what I have.
Okay.
It's going to be going up $1, $10.99.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's an a 4K Ultra HD package, which is currently $11.99. It's going to go up to $13.99.
Okay.
Why do people still do $99, by the way?
I don't know.
Charge
$14. It just makes you feel better.
Why are you doing
it? It's supposed to make you feel better.
All right. Like
$14 is $14 or $13.99.
So Netflix.
$10 is $10 or $9.99.
Netflix is looking to raise these prices. I want to say I read in December. So, hey, Merry Christmas.
Give me a dollar.
Right in time for the holidays, you get an extra dollar that you cannot
get. And it's not really a lot, but it does seem like a trend. Like, let's go up a dollar every
But you know, restaurants do that too. I mean, you got to adjust to the times, brother.
Yes.
I mean, look how many, like you said, I mean, when Netflix first started, people were getting DVDs in the mail. You know, I mean, now it's like millions and millions of shows and movies.
But it does raise the question of how inflation works. Like, you know, companies say, oh, we increase our prices because of inflation, not realizing that they are a part of inflation. Like,
right.
It's like you're all a part of it. I mean, you can't.
I love Netflix. I'm going to be going on.
Distance yourself from
I'm going to be going on Netflix and Swill this week.
Really?
It'll be a
and
guest.
And Swill. Are you going to Swill?
I might, yeah. I'm going to bring some beer. We're doing recording at night, so I think I'll get drunk. It won't be a morning thing.
Yes.
So I'm going to bring some beers. And
you're not slightly drunk right now?
I am. I go through life that way.
Okay, got
but yeah, tell me a guess on the guy. I will love Netflix. Is the point? But I'll be with Dan and Caleb over there this weekend.
Love Netflix though. I have Netflix. I have Hulu.
So the last
Amazon. Netflix is always my favorite.
Yeah, you gotta do it, man. So last thing we're gonna talk about on our light bookend here before we get into before we get into our one deep topic is another light dark topic that's gonna lead us into that because it also deals with women's issues. But
yeah.
My quarterback over there at the Carolina Panthers.
Cam Newton.
You know,
with a little goatee, with a little...
What the hell is that?
I mean, come on, Cam.
He looks like a genie. I don't know. Okay. Why is he doing that? He looks like Shaq from that movie that Shaq was in when he was a genie.
You think if he was a genie, he could rub the ball and make a
something.
Touchdown.
I mean, you know, well, they're 4-1, brothers. Don't get me started on that.
Yeah,
they're doing okay, man. They're doing okay.
They're actually doing good,
But anyway, he... made kind of negative news this week because in a press conference, a female reporter asked him about routes that his receivers were running. Just a standard, you know, BS question that any reporter would ask somebody in the
field. Of course, let's talk about the routes.
Let's talk about the routes your receivers ran. Was it easier for you to find them? So on and so forth.
Exactly.
And Cam, you know, kind of giggled and he said, I'm sorry, it's just funny to me to hear a female talk about routes.
So basically,
there was a backlash after
that. Offhand comment. Didn't think about it very much. Kind of a joke, but obviously an insensitive. So let's talk about it. I just want to spend a couple minutes on
it. But we talked a little bit about it actually when it happened. But I just want a couple minutes. But there was a backlash. After, I want to say, 2 days, he released an apology video on Instagram. It was a minute and a half, but, you know, highlights from his apology, which I thought was sincere, by the way. Quote, I've learned a valuable lesson, unquote. Quote, to young people, don't be like me, be better than me, unquote. Thought those were two that I wanted to take away from the apology video. Well, I mean, you know, just like you said, I think it's a simple slip of the tongue, to be honest. I don't think he meant anything malicious by it. But what we said, and I wanted you to elaborate on, is that the issue is, you know, he might not be self-aware and he might not have known that that was a statement that would be taken the way it was just because he just doesn't have that up in his brain or whatever. But that's the issue. The fact that he does not get that, or that a lot of men that do not get that.
And I think he learned a lesson in that. He learned that he can't say this and get away with it.
Yeah, and he said
however,
that as well.
I'm not sure if he really learned the lesson of where this comment comes from and why it's not okay. And what I loved about the situation, what really brought it to light for me and got me thinking about it, was the reporter went on another show. Do you know the name of the show she went on?
Yeah, so, well, she's a co-host with Colin Cowherd on The Herd, but her name's Kristen Leahy.
So she went on a show, and when they talked about it, she was completely dispassionate about it, which I liked. Well, not dispassionate. She didn't take it personally.
It wasn't about Cam.
She wasn't angry at Cam. She didn't lash out. Even her co-host was talking about, you know, Cam's not going to learn from this. He's not going to learn from anything. He's not self-aware.
Right.
Whatever, whatever. She was like, no, no, no. This is not about taking it personally. Right. This is not about him. This is about the fact that so often in this business and around the world, women are seen as second-class citizens. And these kind of comments...
Right.
Really illustrate how we're seen in this business. The fact that you can say, oh, it's funny to hear a woman talk about routes. Why is it funny?
Right.
Why is it funny?
He wouldn't have said that, obviously,
this is
to
my
a male.
Job.
If a male had asked the same question, he wouldn't have said that.
And the fact that she didn't take it personally and the fact that she didn't lash out
she didn't
got
make,
me thinking about it,
which
thinking
is,
like, oh.
Which is what she wanted.
Yeah.
And, you know, she didn't make it about Cam, which is what you're saying. A couple of her quotes, you know, she said, it's not about his self-awareness. It's like racism. Lots of white people don't think that that still exists.
Because it doesn't affect us personally.
In the same vein, lots of men don't realize sexism still exists.
Yeah, because it doesn't, like, for Cam, that was just a joke.
That's
but
what I'm saying.
The problem is, as a joke, he's not really thinking about it, and all the men who do this aren't thinking about it.
But,
myself included, probably a lot of the time. We don't think that, how is that going to affect the fact, are we still equals? Me and this young lady, are we equals if I demean her like this?
Right.
You know, or I call her baby or sweetheart. Even though for me, it's not a big deal.
Right.
Is it a big deal for her?
And a lot of it is in the context and the
equality.
Relationship with that person, too. Yeah. Like, in this case, he didn't know that woman. That woman was, quote, doing her job.
Exactly.
You know, it wasn't like he was at home with his cousin or whatever.
What do you mean it's funny for me to talk about routes? It's my job to talk about routes.
And another thing that I thought was cool that Christine Leahy said is she says, you know, another thing that's sad about these types of events is that whenever a woman stands up for herself, she's a crazy feminist.
Yeah.
Which is kind of that's kind of like what we think. It's like you're supposed to just sit back and let him call you sweetheart and joke around about your job and like whatever.
But I know you want to wrap this up, but to
wrap
it up,
move on.
I just thought the reporter's approach to this, her response to this was perfect.
Yeah.
As a way to
You're talking about Christine Leahy or you're talking about the woman he insulted?
Who spoke on the show?
Christine Leahy.
Christine Leahy's response was perfect because she was able to view it in a way where she didn't take it personally. It's not about Cam. It's about the larger issue.
Right.
It's about the fact. It's about bringing it to light. The fact that, you know what? This is an opportunity for Cam Newton and the rest of us to think about this, to bring it into our mind and say, okay, why do I act toward women like this? And is this an issue as far as equality is concerned?
Yep.
It just brings that up, and I like that.
And I'll wrap it up with you and say that I agree with you. It is an issue. Sexism is an issue.
Of course.
But the thing is, with Cam, he didn't know that, and that's the problem.
That's the problem.
So the problem to me is not what he said, because I firmly believe that he did not mean anything negative by it.
Yes.
However, he should have, and he didn't, and that's the issue.
And these issues should bring this to light, especially as a middle-class white male. You know, anytime I come in contact with protests or you know, examples of any kind of ism, racism, sexism, it should get me to think about my own position,
right,
and the fact that, oh, maybe I only see life from my perspective, and maybe this is an opportunity to expand that perspective. So,
all right, let's tell you what. Well, you need a pee? A pee break. Is that our, we did our first ever pee break last week.
Yeah.
So we have, it's time for our pee break, and we have rapid fire questions with Miss Emily Prokop. The featured pod friend of the week this week is her and her podcast, The Story Behind.
Love this podcast.
I do too. Love
I mean,
it.
I like a lot of our podcasts, but this one, it's a great idea.
I love
it's
it. So idea. Let's take a break real quick, our pee break, if
pee
you will.
Pee break.
And let Emily answer these questions, and then we'll come back on the flip side with our one deep topic.
Sounds good.
Sit tight, brother.
It's time for this week's pee break, featuring our pod friend of the week.
All right, guys, it's time for another pee break. We have a special one this week. My friend Emily Prokop from The Story Behind is our featured pod friend of the week, and we have 10 questions so you can get to know her a little bit better, a little more intimately. Emily, are you ready for your quick fire questions here?
Ready.
All right, here we go. If you could be any animal, what would you be?
A cat, definitely.
Me too. Me too, actually. Who is your favorite superhero?
Wonder Woman.
Okay. Summer or winter?
Winter. I'm not a fan of either, but I guess winter more than summer.
I'll take it. All right, finish this sentence. When I dance, I look like...
a drunk girl who thinks she can dance.
Well done. What is the most delightful word that you can think of right now?
Epiphany.
Okay, fair enough. Beef or chicken?
Beef. As raw as they can give it to me.
When you wake up in the morning, what is the first thing you do?
Check the time.
Yeah, I think we all do. You're going to Disney World, but you can only take one person with you. Who do you take?
My daughter.
And sunrise or sunset?
Sunset.
All right. And as you know, the final question, describe your podcast in 3 words only, Miss Emily.
Short history trivia.
Really good. Did you think about that ahead of time? That was really good. Well done. Emily Prokop, the show is The Story Behind, and all the information will be in the show notes here today. Emily, thank you so much for being the featured pod friend of the week, and thanks for all you do for us, too.
Thank you so much. This was a lot of fun.
You don't own me. I'm not just one of your many toys.
Welcome back, guys.
Gerald, you don't own me. I'm not just one of your little toys. This is a dark song.
I played this
brother.
For you, brother.
That's a dark song.
Old school, man. Leslie Gore.
Yeah.
Taking us back to the 60s there. You don't own me, and I think you'll know why I let in with that song. But it is time for our one deep topic, Andy.
It's a powerful statement. That's a powerful song, especially in the 60s. That's a powerful song.
We got
song.
Like 20-25 minutes here to touch on this topic and kind of the umbrella that surrounds it.
Yeah.
But our one deep topic this week, buddy, is the rollback of the Obama era policy that included birth control and health coverage for women.
Okay.
Trump is, well, he already has. It was effective immediately this past Friday.
Okay.
And we'll spin off and get into our conversation here, but that's the umbrella kind of subject.
Yes.
So currently, as of this past Friday, you know, companies, you know, corporations, if you will, nonprofits, even universities can refuse to supply women as part of their health insurance birth control based on their moral and religious beliefs and, you know, their moral code.
And providing,
so to speak,
contraception to women was a part of the Obama administration's
ACA,
legislation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
He put it in place, I want to say it was like 3 or 4 years ago.
No.
And I had a number on here, but I don't know if I actually wrote it down, but I want to say it was 62 or 64 million women were benefiting from that. From that part of the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So, first of all, let's just say up front, we realize we're 2 white dudes. I mean, we don't need birth control. We don't use birth control.
Yes.
We don't really even know how it works, or at least I don't. I mean, I know it, quote, controls birth, but I mean, I don't know all the ins and outs of the, obviously, the female anatomy.
Yes.
I don't know all the ins and outs. But, you know, I was talking to my wife about it, because I'm like, you know, is this a big deal to you? Like, what's, you know, what, because people are upset about it, obviously.
Yes.
And the ACLU filed a lawsuit and so on and so forth.
And what did she say?
And, you know, she's like, yeah, you know, it's a big deal. But I, you know, I guess I want to, she was excited to hear your approach, because you and people that listen to the show will know, but I'm very non-religious. I mean, I won't say I'm an atheist, but I'm very close. And my wife is an atheist. You are religious. You borrow from a lot of different religions.
I'm extremely religious.
Right. And you're very spiritual in general. And Christianity is part of what falls into what you study.
One of the many. Yes, right. One of the many.
So this is coming. This is all rooted in Christianity, you know, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, the regulations are one thing and what the government's doing is one thing. But just overall, as a non-religious person, this is one of the most frustrating things in the world of politics.
Yeah.
Is when the further right you get and the more, quote, Republican you are, the more you're Christian beliefs kind of start bleeding into your political policy.
Yeah.
I know it's impossible and it will probably never happen in my great, great, great grandchildren's lifetimes, but I just wish, you know, you hear the term separation of church and state, which I'm not meaning to go there, but I just wish that we could somehow, you know, religion is here and politics are here. And they're not, because they're not, go ahead. I mean, I'll spin off of you because you obviously have more of a vast knowledge of religion and Christianity. But why, what's the fascination with mixing these two seemingly separate worlds?
And I think one of the reasons that non-religious folk have such a problem with this is they don't realize how ingrained a person's religious beliefs are into their actions. And like I said, I'm not defending this because the relationship between church and state is a very interesting one. And of course, we have to talk about the First Amendment when we get into this. But you cannot really tell a religious person to not act on his or her religious beliefs. And that's actually part of free expression. As if I'm a senator or if I'm a congressman, if I'm the president and I have religious beliefs, of course those beliefs are going to affect how I act and how I legislate and how I vote. And you know, that's kind of part of it. So I think when you say the separation of church and state, it's a dialogue, and it's something we try very, very hard to do. However, it's really an illusion because you can't really separate. I mean, what is politics and what is religion? I mean, they are expressions of humanity's desire to A, you know, govern ourselves in governing bodies, and B, express our beliefs about God.
Can I ask you a quick question?
So it's all about human beings. So it's hard. You can't really separate the two.
Can I ask you a quick question? Yeah. So if, and this is literally off the top of my head, so if it sounds kind of scattered, help me bring it in lane here. But if a organization or a country club or even a job, if you're looking for a job, if they have very, very strong Christian beliefs and they require a lot of things that's written into their code or their handbook that you have to follow, which really are spawned from their Christian beliefs.
Yes.
And you're non-religious and you don't believe in being confined by that, you won't join the country club, or you won't take the job, or at least you have
because
the right
not to.
Because
you have the option to.
Right. So here's what I'm saying.
Got it.
So if the government.
And now we're getting into that conflict. Yes.
And see, what I'm saying now is that if the government is putting this out nationwide.
Yes.
Then your choice is taken from you.
Yes.
Because basically any corporation, university, or anybody can do it. So you can't start picking and choosing because they all have the same right to take that away from you.
Yes.
So, do you see what I'm saying? So if I'm a Muslim woman that doesn't practice Christianity or whatever, then why am I being held to the standard that Christian women, quote unquote, are being held to? That's what I don't get.
And, see, that's,
and why don't they see that? There's so many different people in America. Yeah. They're not all Christian, God-fearing women.
And we have to, I mean, to get into that conflict,
go ahead. We
really, really, really have to talk about the First Amendment.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Because here's the thing. The First Amendment is not an answer to this question. And most people think it is. And it frustrates me when people use it as an answer. Meaning that the best example of this, press secretary.
Oh, yeah, she said that. Yeah. Huckabee Sanders. Yeah.
It was asked of her by one of the press corps, what would you say to the women and families who are losing their coverage and to their concerns? And her answer was this: the president is a proponent of the Constitution. If you have a problem with the Constitution, take it up with Congress. Terrible answer.
I don't understand the first. Tell me why the First Amendment is a defense for him doing this.
Because
I don't get that, to be honest with you.
What she is saying, and here's, and now let's get into the First Amendment here. The First Amendment, at least the religious part of it, is actually two parts. Mm-hmm. There's two clauses. There is the Establishment Clause, and that says that the government cannot establish religion. That's also called the Freedom From Clause. Mm-hmm. We have freedom from religious persecution. You cannot use your religion to persecute me. Now,
isn't that what they're doing in a way?
But here's the thing. The second part of the First Amendment, at least where religion is concerned, is called the expression, or the religious exercise clause, and that's the freedom for clause. We have freedom to express ourselves religiously. And if you notice here, the beautiful thing about this is there's a natural conflict between the two. Exactly.
So what you're saying is they both have the right.
You have the right to express yourself religiously, but you also have the right from religious persecution. And so this is not meant to be an answer. The founding fathers were brilliant. This is meant to be a platform for dialogue. Now let's get into the situation we're talking about here. Okay. A company, and this is the kind of the quote right view, the right side of the aisle view. A company has the right to express itself religiously, meaning that we have the right to govern our company based on our religious beliefs, meaning that if it's our belief that contraception is wrong. And I'm just going to get to the point here and say that most companies aren't going to follow this. The issue is where it leads. Mm-hmm. The issue is not present. The issue is the future where this is opening up and leading to. Mm-hmm. Most Christian organizations are not against birth control. But the company is saying we have the right to express ourselves religiously. So why is the government saying that we have to provide contraception? On the back end of it, the women who work for these companies are saying we have the right to be free from religious persecution. Now these companies are telling us how to live our lives, taking away our birth control.
Yeah, one of the quotes here is
basically these companies are persecuting me because of their religious beliefs.
From the ACLU,
that's the conflict.
From the ACLU, they say, quote, no American should be forced to violate his or her own conscience in order to abide by the laws and regulations governing our healthcare, unquote.
So what the religious right is saying, and what the press corps is saying, is that, well, these companies have the right to express themselves religiously, and the president is for that right. Actually, the president's for his constituency, let's face it. But what the press corps guy is saying, well, what about the young lady's right to be free from religious persecution?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You can't use the Constitution, because the Constitution is not an answer, it's a dialogue. Well,
they do the same shit, though. They did the same shit with kneeling with an anthem. They're saying, you know, it's disrespecting the flag. You shouldn't disrespect the flag, but nobody's mentioning the people that are kneeling's right to the First Amendment.
Exactly. It's like, and the beautiful thing about the First Amendment,
they both exist,
brother. It's supposed to spark dialogue. Let me give you a great example, a great textbook example. Young lady works for the government in maybe Kentucky. Her religious belief says, I'm against homosexuality. A homosexual is two gay men come with their marriage license, and she refuses to push it through because of her religious beliefs, and she gets fired. And so the natural conflict is right there. She has the right to express herself religiously, but they have the right to be free from persecution.
Right. Same thing with the wedding cake, with the gay couple that wanted the wedding cake.
And I have what I believe is how we answer this conflict.
Go ahead. That's what I'm saying. So what the fuck do we do?
Here's what we do.
All right, go ahead.
Here's the thing, and it's not easy.
All right, well.
It takes dialogue. It takes discussion. But we look at the human level, the people involved, and we ask, who is really being burdened the most?
Right.
In the situation with the marriage, it's so easy. If she is forced to sign that marriage license, if she works there, she can choose not to work there.
Right.
It's for the government.
Right.
So if she is forced to sign that document, she has to go home and it weighs on her conscience. That's what it does for
her. One person.
It weighs on her conscience. If they do not get their marriage license signed, these two individuals don't get to get married.
Right. Spend their life together.
So right there, do you see the conflict? That's why we always side with the married couple in this situation, because we compare the two and go, okay, whose rights
So the level of impact is really what
And this is what frustrates. This is what frustrates, I think, you and your wife and women in this situation. A company. Now, first of all, let's make it like what you're saying here. The Obama administration did not make it a requirement for women to have access to birth control under insurance because of religious view. They did it because of health, period.
Yeah, they did.
So here's the conflict. A company has to provide the option for birth control. If they are forced to do it and it goes against their beliefs, it's an attack of conscience. Meaning, as a company, we have to provide something we don't believe in. Okay, I mean, I understand that. Especially as a religious institution, that might hurt, and we might need to have that dialogue. Check it out. The women who work for these companies, they don't get access to birth control.
Right.
They don't get access to a preventative care that, like it's two dudes talking here, right, that goes way beyond just keeping them from having babies, which is also...
No, it does. And my wife tried to enlighten me a little bit on that, too. But I mean,
can you tell us?
I mean, but seriously. But, you know,
it's more than that. It's regulating periods. It's regulating health.
Exactly.
It does. I mean, it does a lot more. It regulates estrogen. It does a lot more than that. So here's the conflict here. Why do I, as an American and as a very religious person, side with the women in this situation or side with... Oh, the Obama administration.
Okay, so I want to tell everyone. Yeah. So you are extremely religious.
Yes.
You believe the majority of Christianity's teachings.
And I also believe the government should stay out of religion as much as possible.
Okay. So go ahead. Well, I wanted to preface, but everybody knows you are...
I'm a very religious person.
Legit religious.
Yes. And I understand.
And where... Go ahead. And where are you... You're about to say why you side with women.
I side... I think what the Trump administration is doing in this situation is very dangerous, not just because of birth control, because it's opening the door to allow a lot of other legislation to come through.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, most companies aren't going to move forward with this. Most companies aren't going to deny women unless it's just for money. I mean, let's face it. Here's why I side with the Obama administration and women in this scenario. Because they are losing access to preventative care.
Right.
And they are losing access to something that I believe health is a right.
Right.
And if you're a company and you're providing health care, preventative care is part of that, especially if you want to decrease the number of abortions in this country, which is also an oxymoron. How can you say you're against abortions and you're going to take away preventative care?
I mean, it's crazy, dude.
I side with the women in this scenario because it's attack of conscience versus a preventative care that they're not having access to. And that's the bigger issue here,
and that's, I think. That speaks volumes, the fact that, you know, you, which might be in the minority in terms of your background religiously and then siding the way that you side.
And I feel, and I want to tell
you
that.
I would say you would be in the minority.
But. I feel for these companies. I feel for Notre Dame. And I mean, because mainly when Christianity is concerned, this is a Catholic issue. Catholics are, they're moving forward very progressively, but they're still relatively...
What's the answer to that question?
Yeah, against birth control.
If you're a Republican responsible for passing legislation right now and you're voting for this, what is that answer? Because I'm going to actually get into a story here of one specifically
that I thought
really pointed out the hypocrisy involved here.
And it is. It's a contradiction.
But
it is.
What is that answer? Why would you be pro-life and against abortion and you want to defund Planned Parenthood and you want to do all this stuff and you'd be for taking away birth control?
Because then,
correct me if I'm wrong, but then you're really basically forcing people to either don't have sex, right, completely, or if you do, you live with the consequences.
And
fuck
see,
you.
That's the
right. I mean,
that's
what's
kind of
the
overall ideology is that, and this, I mean, and you can almost understand. This is kind of a backwoods, backwater, you know, old school ideology that most people kind of move beyond. But the idea is that birth, sex, creation is a natural thing and we shouldn't hinder that, meaning that sex is for creation and we shouldn't hinder when God wants to create a life. We should leave it, quote, up to God. Also for the abortion thing, life is sacred. We want to take that away. But what, like, it's all, it goes back to the same thing about teaching the youth abstinence. Yes, it's fine to tell your child, you know what, sex is a beautiful thing,
right?
But
dude,
it's like drugs. It's highly addictive. If you do it if you do it in a relationship with love, it's more than that, and it can lead to not only STDs, but you can't just say, okay, by the way, I'm not going to provide condoms. I'm not going to provide any kind of health care information because I just want to teach abstinence. Because
you're dealing with millions and millions of people.
Exactly. You're ignoring the human issue that, guess what? Kids are going to have sex.
They're going to get lustful. They're going to fall in love.
Give them all the information.
Yeah. Give them all the options.
Give them give them the information.
I mean, it's like a simple analogy that I've used in the past at my job and stuff. It's like, I tell my kid he needs to brush his teeth. He knows he needs to brush his teeth, but I can't just be done with it. You know, I can't just sit him down and say, hey, dude, guess what? You need to brush your teeth every
night.
And then walk away from it.
Black and white.
Expect him to do
that
every night. Yeah. I have to provide him with the tools to do that.
Check it out. Here's the thing. We both have young ladies. We both have daughters. If my daughter comes to me, and first of all, it's a life of open dialogue, hopefully she comes to me.
Right.
If she comes to me and says, Dad, hopefully she'll go to her mom. But let's just say she comes to me.
If you hear about it from the mom.
Exactly. Dad, I would like to go on birth control. I might sit her down and say, okay, first of all, let's talk about sex. And I want you to know all the information.
Yeah, birds and the beast. We need to still
have that. I'm not just going to say, no, you're not going to go on birth control because you're not having sex. Because
right.
I'm ignoring the complicated reality of human emotions. And
then, let's be honest, you're just going to want to do it more then.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the way parenting works.
I'm gonna have the conversation. You know what? Sex is a wonderful thing, but it really is most beautiful and sacred in a loving relationship. I just want to make sure you know that. And also that this kind of birth control, you can still get STDs. I just want you to know all the information. But with all that in mind, yes, if you need birth control, I will provide it for you.
Right.
Because that is the biggest,
I guess,
option.
If you look, if you look at it from the terms of a parent or two parents together, it's almost like I wish the government would act as parents and the Americans are their children, because it's like, in that scenario that you're saying, your kids come up to you and they're honest with you and they're open with you that they may
to. We want them to be open and honest.
Then it's like, what's more important, your religious background or your kids' health and safety?
Yes.
Because if you just cut her off and say, I don't want to talk to you about this. Yeah. You're not having sex until you're married. Don't bring it up again. Then guess what? She's still going to have sex.
And plus,
she's probably going to be more likely to get pregnant.
Exactly.
Because you didn't talk to her about birth control. You didn't talk to her about condoms.
You didn't give her the information.
You know, so that's what I wish the government would kind of put themselves in parental shoes. Yeah. And a lot of them are parents, which, can I bring up one real quick?
Please do.
Because we're running out of time. So we're talking a little bit about the hypocrisy. I do.
Yeah.
When you talk about you're pro-life, but you're also getting rid of birth control. It's like, what the... it's just like the definition of hypocrisy. But
It really is.
A Pennsylvania Republican representative, Tim Murphy, resigned. You want to know why he had to resign?
Yeah, tell me.
Because a report surfaced last week that he had asked his extramarital lover to end her pregnancy, to have an abortion. He was a Republican that co-sponsored a 20-week abortion ban in his state, which passed the House, and he allegedly asked his lover to terminate her pregnancy after doing that. The texts were obtained by the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Here they are. The lover's name is Shannon Edwards. So a text that she sent him, she said, quote, "You have zero issue posting your pro-life stance all over the place when you had no issue asking me to abort our unborn child just last week."
Oh, my goodness.
Unquote. Murphy gets back to her and he says, quote, "I get what you say about my March for Life messages. I didn't write those. My staff wrote those. I read them and winced. I told my staff, don't write anymore. I will write them." Unquote.
So basically he's saying that.
I agree with you, but I didn't write this message. But that's kind of bullshit.
He's kind of saying that I don't believe with what I'm talking. And that goes back to honestly.
Legislation thing. And what you said about Trump to his constituents.
Yeah, it's mainly about, like, all this is about constituency.
I mean, right, Trump might, for all we know, Trump might be pro-choice. We know Ivanka is.
Yeah.
Trump might be pro-choice, but he's not going to say that
because of his constituency.
75-80% of his constituents.
That's what upsets me, I think, about being a very religious person and understanding the desire to have a religious dialogue, understanding the fact that, you know what, as a religious person, I'm going to vote on my conscience. I'm going to vote on my religious values. I get that. But the problem is, these black and white issues and the fact that, guess what, if you're a Christian, you have to be Republican, or if you're a Christian, you have to be Republican because Republicans are going to use pro-life and they're going to use abstinence and they're going to use keeping, you know, evolution out of schools and all this. They're going to use that to get my vote? That's just weird.
Do you feel like,
just weird,
off the top of your head,
okay,
do you feel like religion is too closely tied to U.S. politics?
I think it can't not be. And I don't think that's the issue. I don't think the fact that religion and politics is tied is the issue. I think the fact is that it's very, very difficult to have an open dialogue because everyone shuts down when you talk about religion. And that's the problem. It's not that we shouldn't have an open dialogue.
Where you study, what do you study? 7-8 different religions?
I don't know. As many as I can.
I mean, but, you know, off the top of your head, 10 religions that you're very familiar with?
Yes.
Or have a good knowledge of?
Yeah.
So, how many religions are practiced in this country? I mean, I don't even know. It's got to be a bunch.
Yeah.
So, how are you expecting all of those pools of people to come under one umbrella to a religious belief that you have?
Well,
and what I'm talking about is the 52 or 53 senators or whatever that passed this stuff. They're rooted in Christianity.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all Christian beliefs. I mean, this isn't a Buddhist idea.
Honestly, we still live in a, quote, Christian country, meaning that Christianity is still the majority
here. It's the same thing with the gun control crap.
Exactly.
It's all Christian.
Yeah.
Right-wing religious base. It all comes from a place of Christianity belief.
Or it comes in a package in a governmental package that you feel like if you believe one thing, you have to believe them all.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that if I am really into my right to have guns, I also have to be pro-life. Or if I'm pro-life, I have to also have to be into guns.
Yeah.
And of course, that's, I mean, we don't have to get into that. That's the problem with the two-party system. Right. That's the problem with the whole system, is the fact that we can't have an open dialogue anymore because we have to group ourselves in these packages and say, well, if I am liberal, I have to believe all these things.
Right.
If I'm conservative, I have to believe all these things.
Right.
So the problem is, I mean, I think it all starts with, I try to all begin with humility and realize that, well, my religious beliefs are just that. They're beliefs, they're ideas. So I need to respect the human first. And if my religious beliefs are contradicting my love for humanity, there's a problem here.
Now, Christians aren't going to like this, but can I tell you something?
You can.
The difference... Okay, a religious belief, to use that phrase, that's an opinion, brother.
It's a belief. It's an idea.
Right.
It's
but I mean, if, to somebody that doesn't believe it, that's your opinion.
Yes.
Your opinion is that, you know, Jesus came back after 3 days or what? I mean, whatever. Right?
I didn't know you knew that.
Actually, I think you told me that. It stuck with me. Yeah. I've seen Passion of the Christ. That was a good flick.
Okay.
But you know what I mean? In other words, we're not going to just be like, oh, okay. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, God did all that and, you know, this and that, and Jesus came back and everything. Yeah. I mean, we're not just going to, you know, fucking believe that.
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm saying is politics and the rules that govern our society shouldn't come from, and again, I hate, I don't even want to offend you, even, but I hate to offend people that are Christian or strong Christian, but those government policies shouldn't come from a place of unfounded opinions. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to offend people.
No, I get it.
But whatever you say, it's like kind of like reading Lord of the Rings. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, this shit didn't happen. You know, it's kind of like crazy. And again, I'm sorry.
No.
But, you know, it's just a very kind of fantasy kind of thing. I'm not saying that it couldn't be possible.
No.
That's not what I'm saying. And I, like I said earlier, I'm kind of, I don't really call myself atheist because I know something's kind of going on. I just don't know what.
Yeah.
What do you call that? Agnostic, right?
Yes.
So agnostic. But I mean, that's my point, dude. Yeah. It's just like, do your job. Put policy out that keeps people healthy.
Yes.
In this case, give women all the options to make them healthy.
And if your religious beliefs
why are you,
if your religious beliefs contradicts keeping people healthy, you need to question your religious beliefs.
Yeah. I want you to give a final thought, wrap up on this topic so we can move into our next
one. I want to get to this. Most of these issues become issues when we try to make them black and white.
Yeah.
Where when it comes to religion, when it comes to politics, the problem becomes a problem when you think your opinion is the rule of the land. When you think your opinion or your belief system is concrete. When you're egotistical enough to think everyone should believe what you believe. Because honestly, most religious people have a wide enough perspective to accept that their beliefs are not the end all be all. That what I believe about God is not God.
Not the U.S. government.
Because you know what? It's just an idea. So the problem is it's not a religion problem. It's not a political problem. It's a conservative problem. And I don't mean conservative meaning conservative politics. I mean conservative as like fundamentalist conservative, meaning that these ideas are the only ideas that should run the country. And this is the end all be all. And everyone should think this.
Right. And regardless, you know, and regardless of what you out there, I'm talking about you too, Andy, but I mean, just out there in terms of religiously what you may believe, what kind of stands out to me a lot of the time too, when things like this come up, is that that faction of the country that the further, like I said, the further right you are, what always kind of jumps out at me is once again, they're trying to stop progression.
Exactly.
They're trying to stop the progress of the country,
but they don't
progress
realize
of society.
That.
You know, people, you know, gay rights wasn't even around until 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, transgender rights have come to light lately. I mean, you could throw anything in there.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about healthcare in this case, but that's what I'm saying. It's like the country's advancing, dude.
Yeah.
Women are not going to stop having sex because you don't think your daughter should.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs>
You know what I mean? We're talking millions and millions of women that need that healthcare available to them for safety.
Yeah.
So I, you know, that's and it. Just, that's it for the, go ahead.
Let me give one okay, real quick. I want to reach out to all the religious folks out there and just say that if you want to save the world, if you want people to come to God or whatever you want to call that, Allah, Jehovah, Spirit, Tao, Source, if you want people to live in accordance with that, you can't do that by forcing them to believe something. You have to be an image of that. You have to express that and allow them to find their way themselves. The same thing with your daughter or my daughter. If I want her to be sexually responsible, I can't just force her to think how I think.
I love it.
I have to be an example.
That's why I said that's great.
Support her and allow her to come to that herself.
That's a great point.
No one can be forced to believe something religiously.
That's
they
a
have
great
to
point.
Come to it themselves, and when they do, then we can have a dialogue.
That's a great point. That's why I said if the government and the people, the leaders of our country, could put themselves in parental shoes for a second,
exactly,
step back and say, what would I tell my daughter? What would I tell my kids? Then I feel like they would tend to side more on what ends up being a liberal stance, like a birth control, for example, and Obama's ACA.
Yeah.
But they don't. I mean, they let their religion kind of cloud their job.
I am always for the side of the issue that complicates it. I'm never for the side of the issue that makes it black and white.
Right, exactly.
Always.
All right, brother. So our featured pod friend of the week is...
Featured pod friend?
You got really excited there.
I'm trying to do like a blurb or what it's called.
Yeah, jingle. You know, jingle. The story behind Miss Emily Prokop. We played her rapid fire questions earlier. She's it's great. Just a great sport. She has some really good ones on there. And she also is responsible for doing our jingle for the pee break. That's her voice on there. She does a little voiceover for our
pee break. No, it's not.
So Miss Emily Prokop, a great friend of the show. And the show is the story behind. Make sure you guys check it out. She does little, 7 to 10 minute episodes every week that are, kind of like a Wikipedia page.
The
for
story
a
behind
topic.
Something. Yeah. The thing she's always been
wondering. And stuff
you
didn't
wondering.
Know.
Yeah,
you know,
so
I told you she did one on the fear of clowns. And she
Where
did
does
one,
that come from? It's so cool.
She did one last week on monster trucks and, just stuff that you know in society and popular culture, but you don't really know
where
it came from.
Where do monster trucks come from?
I don't know.
Like who?
I do know because I listened to her show, but we don't have time to, go back and listen to her show.
Got it.
All right, so let's play her promo real quick so you guys can get a feel for Miss Emily Prokop over there. And then when we come back, we'll wrap up, Andy.
Okay.
We got some fun stuff in the pop culture world. So
that's exciting.
Hang tight. We'll be right back.
I'm going to hang tight.
Hi, this is Emily Prokop from The Story Behind, which is a podcast about the extraordinary history behind the ordinary. What does that mean? It means whenever my ADHD gets the best of me, I begin to wonder the stories behind everyday objects. This is the story behind sporks,
behind chewing gum,
behind hoodies, places. This is the story behind Mount Rushmore. This is the story behind speakeasies, or people. This is the story behind Uncle Sam. This is the story behind Betty White. Everything has a backstory, and from what I've noticed from doing the show, not everything is as plain and simple as history books may have you believe. Join me Mondays and Thursdays on your favorite podcast app or at thestorybehindpodcast.com. And thanks for listening.
Welcome back, guys. Episode 46 of Two Peas on a Podcast. Two Peas on a Podcast. Thank you for the featured pod friend of the week.
Yes.
The story behind there. Hope you guys enjoyed that. And thanks so much, Emily, for being a part of that this week. All right, so let's get into these last few topics to send us home here, buddy.
Send us
home,
Daddy.
So do you watch Rick and Morty, the
anime? I don't watch Rick and Morty. Everyone's talking about Rick and Morty. I'm like, what are y'all talking
about? Same here, and it is a...
What are y'all talking about?
It is a pop culture cult phenomenon, and I don't watch it either, and I want to. I have a lot of friends, actually, that have podcasts.
Is it like a Disney, a Nickelodeon show?
I think it's on Cartoon Network, I believe. So... The story behind, maybe she should do that actually, but the story behind this particular thing is that in 1998, McDonald's, with the release of Mulan, Disney's Mulan, they had like Happy Meal toys and all that.
Ooh, yeah.
And they did a limited edition.
Oh, wait for it.
Mulan Szechuan sauce, dipping sauce for chicken nuggets.
Dude, awesome.
Okay. Yeah. Just for the release of Mulan.
Mulan Szechuan
sauce. So it ran for just a month or two.
Yes, delicious.
And that was in 1998.
Got it.
All right. Rick and Morty on their show incorporated that promotion and about how they missed the McDonald's Szechuan sauce, and they made it like an ongoing kind of inside joke on the show.
Really?
So McDonald's picked up on this
and said, okay.
And said, you know what, guys? We're going to bring it back. Just,
for you.
Just in honor of Rick and Morty. So they brought back the Szechuan sauce, a limited time.
Rick and Morty Szechuan sauce.
Yep, this past weekend. But there was a huge backlash because people were driving hundreds of miles, because only certain McDonald's had it.
You're kidding me.
They were driving hundreds of miles.
You are kidding me.
No, they're driving hundreds of miles to get the sauce.
Did you?
No, I didn't. Okay. They're waiting in line. People got them and put them on eBay for up to $1,000 for one packet. And everybody's like, I can't believe that all you guys
gave
us.
We have too much money in this country. Too much money.
I can't believe that you guys only made whatever it ended up being, 500 packs or whatever, which obviously didn't last very long. And so on Sunday, McDonald's tweeted an update about the dipping sauce and that they needed to do something. Fans on social media got to him by tweeting angrily. But the moral of the story is, in December, there's going to be a much larger quantity that's going to be, for the holidays, sent out to all the McDonald's.
Okay.
So every McDonald's will get a amount of the Szechuan Rick and Morty dipping sauce. But what I wanted to say, I mean, how impactful is pop culture, bro?
I mean,
animated series on Cartoon Network has led to this just huge... I mean, I kind of want to try it now based on this. I've never seen the show.
I'll take the Szechuan sauce. Yeah.
I've never even seen the show and I want to watch it.
Okay.
By the way, I hadn't talked about fast food in a while, so I had to do that.
Yes.
So I got one more here. Did you see? I sent you the commercial that Burger King is
I am in love with this.
Is referring to as their longest commercial
ever. Have it my
ever.
Way. I'm loving it. Bah, bah, bah.
They refer to it as their longest commercial ever. Let me tell you what happened.
I love it.
So in Germany, on September 27th, there was a screening for the new Stephen King's It. The new film featuring the killer clown. Pennywise the clown. Okay. People come to the screening.
Love
they
it.
Watch the movie 2 hours long.
Beautiful.
Okay, at the end of the movie, it ends. Okay. And the screen goes black right before the credits. A graphic pops up on the screen that says, "The moral is never trust a clown." And then right under that, the Burger King logo pops up.
How clever is that?
So people were saying this is the greatest troll job in the history of corporate America. So what? Did
I can't
you see the commercial?
I can't believe they got in before the credits.
Yeah, they had to. They must have paid a lot of money, brother.
To get in before the credits?
Yeah, that's a mad troll job though, right?
Ooh, that's awesome.
Did you see the commercial?
No, I did not. I just
you didn't watch it?
I didn't read about it.
Oh, it was good, man. It was so good.
Yeah.
Obviously a shot
it's
at
a great
Ronald,
idea.
Ronald McDonald.
It's a great idea.
And Mickey D's there. I wonder
Never
if Mickey D's is
going to
respond. I wonder. What do you prefer, Mickey D's or BK?
I don't eat either one anymore because they make me feel like death.
Mm. Yeah, you told
but
me.
They're both delicious. I mean, over time, I mean, a double cheeseburger and some
Whopper,
onion
though,
rings.
I mean,
a
the
Burger
Whopper,
King,
though.
But a quarter pound of cheese extra value meal at McDonald's. I mean, when I was a youth, I just loved all fast food.
I
but
did too.
Now
man.
I just can't eat.
I can't
eat
it
anymore.
As often as
it hurts.
I want to do it.
Like last time.
But the Whopper, dude, does it get better than the Whopper?
Years ago, I had a double cheeseburger at Burger King and it just made me feel like death. I was like, I can't do it. I can't eat Burger
For
King
me, more. It's like the Whopper is probably my favorite fast food like item.
Yes, I can still eat Wendy's,
and
by
then,
the way.
You told me that,
without,
yeah, which
without,
was
without
weird.
Feeling like death.
Which is weird. And then the Big Mac is probably number two for me as far as like an item from a fast food place.
Yeah.
But I love Taco Bell, as we've said before on the show.
Goodness.
But I don't know, man. I guess this isn't the loop, but I guess if I had, I guess if I had to pick and there could only be one of them.
There can be only one.
I'd have to say McDonald's, brother.
Yes,
I mean,
McDonald's.
Just iconic. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, McDonald's is
just deep. Too much, you know, variety
and history.
And the Szechuan sauce.
Yes.
Rick and Morty's, I gotta stick around for that. Yeah. All right, did you see... did you ever use AOL Instant Messenger back in the day?
I remember AOL Dial-Up. I didn't use it...
AOL Dial-Up.
I remember AOL... Yeah. Doo-doo-doo.
Absolutely.
I don't think I used Instant Messenger much, maybe a couple times. Yeah.
Well, it was called, you know...
It was the first one, though, right?
It was, yeah. It was the first one of its kind, like, you know, like group chats and that kind of thing. But it was called AIM, AOL Instant Messenger, abbreviated AIM. But it is being phased out, so rest in peace, AIM. It'll be gone in December.
How innovative was AOL?
By the end of the year, I was going to ask if you ever used it. What was your screen name? My screen name was... I was using it when I was doing a lot of video gaming.
Got it.
Because back then, that was the way... Back then, you didn't have Twitch and, you know, all the gaming and things that you can chat now. And, you know.
So you play your game while chatting on Instagram.
Yeah. So we would get ready for our matches, so to speak, on AIM. And we would chat with each other and then we'd go play the video game when we did it remotely. But mine was Freak on a Leash because I was into Korn at the time. I don't know if you know that's a Korn
yes,
song.
Yes, I do.
So it was really popular. So when I created my AIM, I was like just a geeky Korn fan. And my screen name was Freak, which was from the song. So I just made my screen name Freak on a Leash. I think it's still active, to be honest with you. You guys look me up on AIM.
Well, not for long.
Well, not for long. It was just till December.
But, you know, I mean, talk about innovation. I mean, now Instant Messenger is everywhere, and everyone uses it on the phones, on the computer. But,
yeah.
I mean, they were the first
I can
ones.
Remember my granddad
they
using
were the first
AOL.
Ones.
He was so funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what are you doing
if
back
the
there?
First number didn't get through, you had to use the second number.
Yeah, the backup number. Yeah. Had the little yellow dude running across the screen.
Exactly.
And the little triangle. That was good
you
stuff.
You got mail.
AOL. All right, last thing, brother, which is kind of an update to one of our shows from like 3 or 4 months ago.
Nice.
But I didn't know. I wanted to know if you saw this update because it's very exciting for me. I've actually got my Batman t-shirt on today.
You do? You're wearing a Batman t-shirt?
I have several, but I'm wearing one with just a standard
and love
Batman,
is in the air.
Batman logo.
Love is in the air.
So an update. Well, I should have looked at what show, but a few months ago, we talked about how in episode 24 of the latest Batman, Batman asked Catwoman to marry him.
Crazy.
And they left it on a cliffhanger.
Oh!
All right. So crazy. That was episode 24. So jump ahead 3 months. Edition 32 came out this week.
So what's happening in between? Nothing.
The Batman stuff's going on, but Catwoman hasn't been in the comics, so they haven't brought it up. But now she's back in episode 32.
Yes, she is.
And guess what? She said yes.
Yeah. Are you going
to
DJ the wedding?
I want to, brother. You officiate? I'll DJ. You dress as a Joker, officiate.
All right, cool.
And I'll dress as, I don't know, what do I dress with? I look like the Penguin. So I guess I just go as, just go as him. And I'll dress
or you'll show up and be like, hey, you dressed as the Penguin. You'll be like, I didn't. No, I didn't.
So Batman, I'm a big Batman fan. Yes. And Catwoman, we've talked about this before. Have I been creepy today yet?
Yes.
Or should I do it
now?
No,
you haven't.
I haven't been creepy today.
No,
should I stay on a clean slate or should I do it?
Give it to us.
Well, Catwoman's costume. I mean, the costume, brother, right?
Yeah.
I mean, anybody wears a Catwoman costume.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Beautiful.
Dude, brother.
Yes.
It was too much for me. I couldn't do it. Even Anne Hathaway in the most recent.
Oh, that's right. Dark Knight Rises. Which one was she in?
Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Catwoman, dude. Does it get any? I mean, doesn't get any better than the black?
Because I love, like you, I love cats.
I do too.
They're so sleek.
That's
and what sexy.
I told you. I just my goal in life is to find a human that's a cat. I don't know, like a half cat, half human kind of thing, you know.
That's
all right. So anyway, Batman and Catwoman.
Congratulations,
are
guys!
Officially engaged in the comic book series.
Give me a call. Give me a call. I'll officiate the way.
And that's a big deal, man. Yeah, so and deal. It also is kind of the paradox of the hero and the villain. You know, kind of like.
Oh.
Finding a way to come together. Hey, Republicans and Democrats, come together, guys.
Come
if
together.
Batman and Catwoman could do it, maybe Trump should wear the black latex. Yeah. Maybe that'll help peace.
That's what the Beatles said. Come
it.
Together
I
right
doubt
now.
I
over
doubt
me.
That would help.
Yes.
All right, you want to get your loot, brother? We're looking good for week two of our new format here, brother. Right under an hour, so we're going to be right on time, brother. All right, so kind of because of Batman kind of made me think of this. This is one of those kind of classic
Give me a
conundrums.
Classic. Give me a classic conundrum.
It's like a classic
I'm ready.
Question that
okay.
you've probably been asked before.
I doubt it.
But off the top of your head, really, if you were a superhero, which you are, but if you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
My superpower would be I'd be able to read a person's deepest joy and their deepest sorrow. I'd be able to get inside of them and understand their deepest joy
brother,
and their deepest sorrow.
Brother, I could not hang out with you. Yeah, superhero.
I'd be able to. I'd be able to read them and be able to, and also, and therefore, engage them on it.
You'd be too deep
and help them out.
Well, mine is. mine is not as deep.
I'd be able to eat as many Krispy Kreme donuts as I could.
No one's surprised. Mine's teleporting.
Oh yeah,
I'd love to teleport, dude.
Yeah, man.
You know, just like I want to go to Italy and just fucking go to Italy. That's what I wish. I mean, why has nobody invented teleporting yet?
Yes. I mean, obviously,
forget all this airfare and all this shit.
Who wouldn't want to fly?
But I mean, how cool would it be if you could just like snap your fingers and you could be wherever? I mean, that'd be the best. Wherever I go, I would want to take you with me, though. I'll tell you that much.
Okay.
We'd hold hands and we'd teleport together. So I would use my power to take you.
If someone's holding your hand.
And the whole way there, you can tell me what my deepest joy is, because that's your fucking...
that's your fucking both of them.
All right, brother. I got to cue it up. I got a little off on our loop there, but give us your final thought for episode 46, buddy.
If you want the world to think a certain way, if you have a deep ingrained belief system about the way the world should be, you cannot tell someone to think how you think. You can't just convince them. You have to act on that belief. You have to become that belief and inspire others by who you are, by how you act. You know, Jesus, Buddha, they both said the same thing. Be a light. Be a light. You can't switch another person's light on. You can only be a light and inspire them to switch their own light on. Bam!
I love it, brother. Turn the light on, brother. Thank you, CCR. Good tune this week.
Man!
That's it for episode 46, guys. Two Peas on a Podcast.
Woo!
All the information for us and for our featured pod friend of the week, the story behind, will be in the show notes.
Will it?
Make sure you check us out, send us questions, feedback, and follow us all over the place and do whatever you want to
all
do.
All over. Teleport and have
conversations. I don't know when, because I'm starting my new job. I'm excited. I don't know when, but we will get together at some point next week, Andy, and we'll do number 47 for the people.
Sounds good.
All right, give me a shake there, brother. Give me a shake there, brother. All right, love you, man. I'll see you next week.
I love you, man.
Have fun at Disney, brother.
I will.
Thank you for listening to Two Peas on a Podcast. The views and opinions expressed were solely those of the hosts and are not necessarily shared by our distributors or hosting companies. Visit twopeasonapod.com for more info.